Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, with us today, somebody brand new to the Straight Talk table. Never met him before. Robert DeLong. He is the new Chester County Economic Development Director. So welcome to York County and Chester County, South Carolina.
Delighted to be here.
So, Robert, I have this tradition. When I don't know anybody, I need to know
about
it.
It's like a hazing process.
Yeah. So tell everybody a little bit about you.
Sure. I'm born and raised in South Carolina. I'm originally from Aiken, South Carolina. Started off my career in economic development there. I spent 13 years in Aiken Edgefield. We were a two-county economic development partnership. Spent 4 years in Darlington County as their first economic development director for their public-private partnership. And then I've been in Metro Atlanta for the last decade. And so I went from a fairly small rural community to one of the largest counties in the entire Southeast, Gwinnett County. Did that for 3 years, and then most recently I was in Forsyth County, which is next door. The base there is Chamber of Commerce, 240,000 residents, but had an opportunity to come back to South Carolina. Delighted to be here.
Woo. I was going to say, I think if I went from all those counties into Atlanta, I would be looking very quickly to get out of Atlanta.
Well, the one thing I do not miss is the traffic.
How bad is the traffic?
The state bird of Metro Atlanta is the crane. And then our flag in Forsyth County was the orange barrel. They had orange barrels everywhere for road construction.
Yeah, I can't imagine what drive time is like there. It must be a real challenge.
Well, that was one of the questions people asked you. How long did it take you to get to Atlanta? And my response was, what time of the day are you leaving? Because it very much depends on when you left as to how long it would take you to get there.
So how long did, I'm just curious, how long did it take you?
If you left mid-morning, I could be in downtown Atlanta in 45 minutes. If you left during peak commuting time, it could be easily 2 hours.
Oh, my gosh. Whoa.
Well, my commute, as I speak, is a grand total of 18 minutes, which I am thoroughly enjoying.
So what attracted you to come to Chester County?
Sure. I will say, Chester County is a fairly small county. But we are a punch way above our weight. So from an economic development perspective, they have just done a lot to prepare themselves as a community for growth. And that's one thing I'm just really delighted. I tell people I'm walking in the footsteps of giants, because really it's been decades in the working that I'm sort of able to step in and take advantage of. But we have, thousands upon thousands of acres with certified property. It's already zoned industrial, many of which are on the L&C Railroad, which is basically for us as we're like having it as a dual rail serve. So I tell people not every project needs rail, but if you need it, dual rail is the way to go. And we have some fabulous product, particularly in this Highway 9 corridor. This Highway 9 corridor, divided four lane, and I will say it's not just us, the sites. We have our utility partners, Duke Energy, our Natural Gas Authority, Water Authority, Sewer Authority. They have just done a lot to work together as a community to basically position us to be able to go after large projects and be successful. And we've had some great history in the recent years of being successful and attracting some very large industrial, projects and investment in our community.
Well, probably the most notable in recent history has been a GT Tire, which came to Chester County, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. And because of what you just talked about, the community coming together, the L&C Railroad, Springs, and I don't know who else was involved, took 1,000 acres of woods and turned it in to a site that was attractive for GT Tire to ultimately locate on.
Oh, sure.
And I will say those kind of projects I call are once-in-a-decade type of projects. When you get to a project of more than $500 million dollars, I think this one with, $700 or so million dollars investment, and then looking to hopefully progress towards 1,000 in jobs, those are kind of, I call, once-in-a-decade kind of projects. And so we have been, they're very much in a growth mode as we speak. I've had a chance to meet with them on a couple of occasions recently, and they are just in the process of installing some new equipment. They're in a ramp-up mode, so if you are looking for employment opportunities, GT Tire is hiring.
Well, let's go back and revisit that. Now, they opened for business, 3 years ago, something like that. I mean, they actually got the plant done.
Sure.
And that plant is huge. I mean,
it's like 1.5 million square feet. It's massive, yes.
Originally, when they were talking about locating in Chester County, they were going to build that building, get it up and get it running. And they've got plenty of land. They were going to build another one pretty much just like that one right next to it.
Correct. Yeah, they had designed it so you could flip the design and double the square footage. Maybe not necessarily double in employment, but basically double the footprint and double your production capability of that facility.
When they had the grand opening, and I remember the governor was down there, and, of course, he was impeccably dressed in his nice three-piece suit. He had his nice white shirt on, and they had the governor make a tire. He made a tire by pushing buttons. The tire came off the thing, and he was just as clean as before he started pushing buttons. I mean, what I'm getting to is that manufacturing in the 21st century is much, much different than it was back in the 19th century.
No, and I will say, as a community, we need to do a better job of educating our younger folks what modern manufacturing looks like, because I think they have this perceptions from TV and movies of these dirty factories, and modern manufacturing is not like that. It's very well lit, clean. Like I said, in the case of GT, there's only two touch points where people are actually, humans are touching the tire at the beginning and at the end for the hand inspection. And it's just amazing how much technology has advanced. And it's led to a really nice, wonderful environment for young person to work there.
No question about it. So what is the status of GT Tire now? Are they in full production? Are they still?
I know the virus.
Got them.
So I think right now, last year was a little bit of an off year. I think the big thing for them was they were pursuing, actually were successful in becoming an OE supplier, original equipment supplier, to Volkswagen. So they're actually making parts for original tire equipment, and that's a pretty daunting process. And you just can imagine last year, a lot of the if you're building equipment for the original equipment for automotive manufacturing plants, they had a slowdown last year because of COVID. Things are picking back up. And with that, they've just installed quite a bit of equipment just in the recent months, as they actually were installing equipment when I visited them. So they are very much in a hiring ramp-up mode as we speak.
Do you know how many roughly they employ right now?
They're around 700 employees now, and I think their goal is to get to about 1,200 employees over the next coming years.
Really? So they would they get up to 1,200 with just the existing facility, or would that be
that
adding
is just
on?
With the existing facility, correct?
Oh, really?
So that does not involve the long-term commitment and the capability to double their square footage of their plant.
So they would be running, what, three shifts, 24-7?
They are 24-7 operation, correct, sir.
Oh, already. Okay, interesting. All right, so is part of, I would imagine, part of your job is to periodically be in front of the people like GT Tire to say, okay, how you doing? What can we do to help you? You know, can we help you with expansion? Can we help you with hiring? That kind of stuff?
Yes, sir. I will say, under normal circumstances, one of the top priority as a new economic development director coming into a new community would be to do just that, to go around to visit your existing industry, get to know them, introduce yourself. So when there's issues, they have an opportunity for growth and expansion, they know to pick up the phone and call you. I will say, I have been just, I guess, up to my eyeballs with projects since the day I walked in. I inherited several active projects that were hoping to have a couple of nice announcements before the end of this quarter. And then I've logged in over 25 projects just in the 3 or so months that I've been in the job. So for me, in our industry, economic development projects sort of take precedent. And I am very much looking forward to, my project manager position being backfilled. We have a gentleman named Chris Phillips who will be starting on the February 1st as my project manager. And I'm looking forward to that because it's not that I don't want to enjoy running the projects. I do. I enjoy running projects, but I also enjoy getting to know my existing industry and to be able able to free me up to be able to make those connections. At the end of the day, economic development is very relationship driven, and you got to know people, and you got to meet them, and you got to look them eye to eye. And I'm looking forward to having some freed up time to be able to do those kind of interactions.
So, when we take a look at other big projects that are going on down in Chester County, you just alluded to what I had picked up on up here, that there were, there's at least one, and you're saying maybe two, pretty significant announcements that are in the works right now. Would you say that they are solidified and you can't announce them yet, or do they still have a few more hoops to jump through?
In my mind, until a project's announced, it's always, you know, it could always change. They could always change your mind. But I will say activity is very good. We are anticipating a couple of nice announcements before the end of this quarter. But as always, unfortunately, with existing projects, active projects, we can't discuss. But the good news is our activity and our pipeline is very full. And that's how in economic development is. You got to have the pipeline to generate the leads, to generate the activity, the project visits, community visits that ultimately lead to them making a decision. And the good news is we inherited very active projects. And then I've also picked up quite a few projects myself that we are very much in the running for. So I'm anticipating a very good year. And I will say part of this, I think, is a pent-up demand. I think last year, with being a COVID year, there's a lot of projects that got shelved, and now we're seeing just an inundation of activity right now. I think I picked up quite a few projects. I say normally for us, the last couple of weeks of December, it's very dead. It slows down quite a bit and doesn't pick back up. The very first week back of January, I had three project visits. I submitted two RFIs, and I logged in six new projects, and that was just in week one of January. And so I think a lot of this is that pent-up demand. Now the vaccine is being disseminated. People see that light in the tunnel. Decisions that had been delayed are finally getting put back on the front burner. Now, and I think it's not just us, too. I think it's all my counterparts are very busy at this exact moment as well.
I was going to say, are you in contact, for instance, with your peers, let's say in your county?
Yes.
David Swenson, Lancaster County.
We're very fortunate. We're actually part of two alliances. We're part of the I-77 Alliance, which is five counties, which includes York County and Lancaster, our neighbors, as well as Fairfield County to the south. We are also part of the Charlotte Regional Business Alliance as well. And part of that is, to generate leads and projects for us. But part of that's resources. We're very fortunate. We have great neighbors and resources. I will say, for example, on one of our projects, David Swinson's, even though the project physically was not in York County, he was, helping us out, behind the scenes, working with us to help support the project, because he understands that this is, when you have big projects, they're looking at the region, they're not just looking at individual counties. I guess it's important for us that we understand those county lines, but from a business perspective, they don't see those county lines. It's a regional, and for us to be able to, and for us, as a small county, we're very blessed to have York and Lancaster as neighbors, because they're putting us on the, in the hunt for projects we otherwise would not be because of that overall labor draw that we're able to produce and support.
And we also have done, when I say we, meaning York County, and I've never quite understood all these, but these multi-jurisdictional projects, I don't know how those work, but we have done some of those, have we not?
Sure. In South Carolina, that's called a multi-county industrial park, and it's basically a mechanism to basically, you have to share 1% of the fee in lieu of tax stream with that neighboring, county. But it's a mechanism to basically increase the incentives that we're able to offer as a community. There is opportunities in some parts of South Carolina where you do truly have a multi-county industrial park where it straddles a line and part of it's in one county and part of it in another. We don't have that in Chester County, but York County has really, as far as I know, doing my research, we've always partnered with York County for those multi-county industrial parks to basically, and they've done the same thing for us. When they've had large projects, we've been their partner as well.
Yeah. Were you all? I mean, was this mechanism used at all with the Carolina Panther project?
If that was a Senate-driven project, I'm sure we were the partner county for that. Okay. And the way it works is when you do a fee in lieu of taxes, 1% of that fee stream goes towards that partner community.
Right.
And then same thing, it goes both ways.
All right. So let's go back to these couple of hot prospects that you have. My understanding is that one of these projects will be a significant employer, possibly 400 jobs. True or false?
Unfortunately, I can't comment on active projects.
Why did I think he was going to say that? Yes.
You already knew the answer to that.
Well, I just, what the heck? It's my job to ask questions. It doesn't
matter.
Well, when the two projects, are they 80% done?
I think in both these cases, we're well over 80% done. We're in the final stages of getting the finalized commitments. And I will say, a project is never over until the very end. And I will say, particularly with larger projects, as you get close to the end, there are just a lot of loose ends that need to be, you have to work on. There's a lot of little things you may not have thought about months earlier when the project started, but now that you're trying to finalize the deal, you have to come up and address those concerns so that everybody's copacetic. And I will say, for us, we want, at the end of the day, we want to have an agreement where the company has a clear understanding of what the community in the state of South Carolina is doing to support the project. But we, as a community, want to be a clear understanding of what the commitments is going to be from the company. The jobs, investment, the ramp up period, the wages associated with a job, so that everybody's sort of singing off the same hymnal, that everybody understands what the expectations are across the board. And I think that's always important from both the company's perspective and local community's perspective.
Okay, but basically what you're telling me is, in these projects, Chester County has been selected as the designated site, assuming all these details can be worked out.
Same thing. I can't go into details on that, but I will say we are expecting a good start to the year.
All right. We'll leave it at that. And with that, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. We broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. The magical way we do it is very simple, and we're going to let you all know about it at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, 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 garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot, on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax your home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
My concern is, let's not let fear of COVID cloud people's judgment about their health. We don't want people sitting at home with heart attacks, stroke, those things that are life-threatening.
Piedmont Medical Center Chief Executive Officer Mark Nosaka expressing his concern about those who fear coming to the ER.
People are still going to have heart disease. They're still going to have heart attacks. They're still going to need heart surgery. And we're providing all those services while we're protecting people from COVID.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, with Robert DeLong, who is the brand new Economic Development Director for Chester County, succeeding the lovely Carlisa Parker, who, speaking of lovely, look what just walked in the door. Not so lovely, but anyway. Nice to see you, Ken Kerber. Stop by anytime, pal. So, Robert, You were telling me that you knew Carlisa through your associations and stuff.
Yes, sir.
And she was actually involved with the selection committee that did your hiring.
Yes, sir. I guess Carlisa had spent 16 years as the director for Chester County Economic Development, and actually she spent almost 15 years, I think, before that in planning. So she's a resident of Chester and basically helped actually start the Economic Development organization in Chester County. So she retired after a much well-deserved retirement. She retired in November of 2019. But she was very much active in the search. So she was actually a part of the, I think, about 12 people that were involved in the interview process. She was one of those people, as well as actually Hal Stone, who was also a retired state project manager, but also spent quite a few years as the existing industry project manager. And he's also a lifelong resident of Chester County.
Okay. One of the things we were chatting about before we got on the air is this growth pattern that we're seeing in neighboring Chester County, particularly in the residential community. You've got a couple of projects down there that are off and running, and I can see we're going to see probably more of that as the pressures for land and prices of land continue to escalate up here. It's a better buy down in Chester County right now.
Yes, sir. So I will say, and I'm in that mix, right? I'm new to the job. I'm looking for an opportunity to buy a house in Chester. And at this exact second, your options are fairly limited. However, I think that is getting ready to change. I thought, my master's degree is in demography population studies, so I'm a little bit of a numbers geek. In 1950, Chester County had a population of 32,000 residents. Today, we have a population of 32,000 residents. So in 7 years, it's little ups and downs, but it's been fairly stable. But I think that is all about the change. If you look at the two fastest growing counties in Metro Charlotte, there are neighbors, York County and Lancaster County, both of which have grown more than 25% just since 2010. There are some natural pressures going on. And so right now, I think what we're starting to see some called national builders kicking the tires. Lennar, Pulte, LGI has actually already broke ground. That's going to be called Knightsbridge. It's our first large-scale subdivision. It's about 300 homes. That is under construction now. And I will say some of these other folks are, I call the wait and see. They're waiting to see how strong that first subdivision comes out of the gate. And if it comes out of the gate strong, which I believe it will, I think these other folks will be coming right behind them. In some cases, they have already identified sites of land and properties that they could do that detached single-family homes, which we are pretty desperately in need of in our community.
Well, before you can get these major subdivisions, you got to have water and sewer and all that kind of stuff.
You got to have great partners.
You have great partners. And historically, Chester County's done a pretty good job with that, have they not?
We have, and I will say I'm stepping into a really good situation for not only from an industrial land and a site capability, but also with our utility partners, whether it's Duke Energy, whether it's Philford Electric Co-op. For us, we have Chester Natural Gas, Chester Metropolitan District, which is our water authority, and then we have Chester Wastewater Recovery, which is our sewer authority. So particularly along the Highway 9 corridor around the Exit 65, just a tremendous amount of energy and focus has been done by the entire community as well as our utility partners to really position us as a community to be able to be where we are today. And part of that is residential. I think that residential growth is getting ready to hit, and I think it's going to, once that first one comes out of the gate, I think it's going to be a kind of Katie Bardor. I think it's going to be coming out strong. And then from a perspective from an industrial, over the last decade, we have certified, I think, about 10, 11 sites. We have well over 3,000 acres of industrially zoned property that's been certified. I mean, certification means a lot of the due diligence has been done, and companies just like anybody else are risk adverse, and the more work you can do on the front end to do the the archaeological endangered species, wetlands delineations, phase one environmental, all that work, it's very expensive, but the more you do that, it makes it less risk, and you're able to provide that. So if you're competing in, I call it a process of elimination, a project's looking at southeast or look at the multiple space, multiple communities, the more work you have on that due diligence, the further into the process you are able to get. And at the end of the day, if I can never get a company to come visit us and have those face-to-face interactions, they're never going to make a decision. All that due diligence helps me get those project visits from the consultant and then ultimately the company to help them make that decision.
So when you've got 10 or 11 sites that are already certified, that means everything's done. They're ready to go. All you got to do is walk in and start building.
Some call them shovel ready.
Shovel ready, that's
a terminology that I guess a lot of folks heard a number of years ago. And so basically, like I said, people are risk adverse. Companies are risk adverse. The more due diligence, the more you can show that site is shovel ready and ready to go. It just makes my job so much easier.
So your super site was gobbled up by GT Tire. Right. Even though they're only using a small part of it, they've got 1,000 acres that they own. Are you working on another big site?
Yes. Our largest site we are working on right now that went just through the state's program called the Palmetto Sites Program, which is the state site certification program. It's called the Richburg Magnolia site. It's about 700 acres, so it's not quite the size of that mega site that was used by GT Tire, but 700 acres is still a fairly large, significant site for us. It's only about 4.5 miles from the interstate, which is for most of folks, you need to be with it plus minus 5 miles, and so of the interchange. And so for us, it's a good site. We just completed this due diligence, so now we're in the process of looking at what we can do to market that site. And the one thing I'll say with that particular location, it's a local landowner, Mr. Odell Still. He's been great to work with. And I'll say for some of our sites, you have absentee owners that are in different states, not even local. Having a local person that understands the importance of what we're trying to do, that's at the table, when we have prospect visit, he's at the table physically, I think means a lot to a company when they're looking at your community. And we're very fortunate that he's very active in our community and more than willing to help us market that site for them.
Well, 700 acres is a big piece of dirt. Big piece of dirt. But you've got more to do on getting that one totally certified?
We just completed the Palmetto site certification. So we have completed that site certification for that site. That's, I think, our 11th in our community.
All right, so it's done, ready to go,
too.
It's shovel ready.
And we're already marketing that site for different size projects.
Well, it'd be nice to land a great big automobile manufacturer or something there, wouldn't it?
It's probably not quite big enough for that. Typically, you need a couple thousand acres for an automotive assembly plant. We're not quite there. But the fact that you have a large site that also has that rail across the street, the LNC railroads across the street. We've already got clearance from the Department of Transportation that we can add a spur across to serve that site. But either way, it still could be a very significant project.
All right. So talk to me about, and I think I got this name right, is it Roseburg Wood Products?
Roseburg Forest Products.
Forest Products. Tell me about them, what they're doing.
Sure. That was one of the projects just, I guess, announced a couple of years back. They have already started production. They're actually finalizing right now their rail spur to support that project. They are a dying breed, and they are a family-owned company, privately held, which in this day and age, they're kind of a rarity. They're sort of that unicorn that you don't see very much of in our world of economic development. They are basically doing structural wood beams out of that location. Same thing. All indications are they're already ramping up. They're hiring as we speak. They're one of our other companies that are hiring, and I think they're just going to be a great addition to our community.
So, did they build a plant from scratch, or did they take over something?
They built a plant from scratch.
From scratch. So it's done?
They are in operation. The rail spur is not. The rail spur is still, it's finalizing the rail spur now, but they've already started production.
Okay. So when they, what's the potential for employment there?
I believe they've committed to about 350 jobs associated with that. They're probably less than halfway there at this exact moment, so they're very much still in a ramp-up mode. Same thing, if you're looking for a job, I'm sure they would love to hear from you.
And I guess that's also one thing that makes Chester County attractive, besides the other things we've talked about, is the fact that you've got an employment, you've got a base of people there that are ready to go.
We are extremely thankful for York and Lancaster County. As I mentioned, if it wasn't for those two counties and the growth that they have seen, we would not see the activity we are seeing as a moment, because as a community of only 32,000 people, we're about the size of a mid-sized city. The one thing I've mentioned to you earlier is companies do not see county lines. Only we see county lines. Mm-hmm. They're looking at a labor draw, typically 45-minute labor drive time from a particular site. And when you look at Exit 65, which is where our Highway 9 is, you have like 1.2 million people within a 45-minute drive of Exit 65. Mm-hmm. And so I tell people we're punching way above our weight. For a community of our size to be able to attract something that's creating hundreds of jobs, we wouldn't be able to do that with our neighbors. We're very thankful for Lancaster and York.
Well, Robert, thank you very much for being with us today. Welcome to the upstate of South Carolina. Hope to see you up here again real soon. Robert DeLong, he is the Chester County Economic Development Director, our guest today on our Straight Talk broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor again, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice. For conservative investors, find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. You got to wake up now. Get ready now. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Let's tell everybody how we do it.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad, Robert. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.